Welcome to the Jabbercast with Big JD and Lippo. Talk radio on the go, where we talk about anything and everything with a new topic every week. From the awesome candy you ate as a kid and sibling rivalry to public restrooms, coffee versus tea, and who reads on the toilet. You get it all here at the Jabbercast Podcast. Talk radio on the go. Listen when you want to, where you want. Copyright 2006, Big JD and Lippo. All rights reserved. Listener feedback encouraged. Some conditions apply. Open mind sold separately. Hello and welcome to the Jabbercast.
I'm Lippo.
And I'm Big JD.
How are we doing today, Big JD?
Not doing too bad.
You sound great.
I sound great because it's exciting watching you from here.
Well, I should have said you look great.
Oh, you can't see me.
What do you mean I can't see? I'm sitting right next to you.
Right. Okay. I forgot.
If you can see me, I should be able to see you, right?
You should be able to. I could always set up a webcam.
All right, you let the cat out of the bag. We're not in the same room, but you can see me. Oh, because I still got my video on my Skype.
We're doing this Sunday morning from separate rooms as a test. Yes,
because Big JD is doing this personal hygiene experiment where he doesn't take a shower for a month.
Been there, done that.
And I just can't stand the odor, so I'm in another room.
He's got very sensitive nostrils.
That I do.
He does.
Yes, I have some kind of sensitivity in the nasal area.
Nostrilitis. Technically. And
it seems to worsen with the least amount, like the least, the less sleep I get, the more sensitive it is. I don't know what the connection is, but it's not good. Right now is some kind of allergy season for me. I think it's mold or ragweed or something. But it's flowing like a faucet in the morning, that's for sure.
I think that you should probably cut out your video.
Is that just too distracting for you?
No, I'm really enjoying watching you there. I just can't take the fact that you don't have any clothes on.
Whoa.
No, I'm kidding. Right. No, I think it's just hogging a little extra bandwidth that will break up the recording a little here and there.
Oh, all right.
So, yeah, there you have that. What's going on these days over yonder? Are you golfing tomorrow? Or?
Yes, I am.
Sweet. Where at?
We're going to Deer Run. We were supposed to go to Blenheim, which is a nice community golf course. There's members there. It's one of those old-style golf courses with lots of trees and bunkers and small little greens. But we couldn't get on there till a little later in the afternoon, so we're going to Deer Run, which is in Chatham. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Blenheim is in Blenheim for all you people living in the UK. I know you know where that's at. It seems like there's a lot of towns here in this area that also have towns with the same name in England. You notice that?
Well, that's because the Queen is our president.
So what's that going to do with the name of our town?
Well, we take after England, so we name all kinds of stuff after England.
Do you call your trunk in your car a booty?
A booty?
A booty.
No, but I call my booty a trunk. Junk in the trunk. That's where that comes from. Or is that an old wives' tale? Whoa.
No, that's just a different word for something that is the same.
Oh, that's a synonym.
Or a hymenonym.
Oh, wait, that's the stuff you sprinkle on toast.
I love that stuff.
Cinnamon with some sugar?
Sure. And some hummus.
Oh, no. Spoil it. I hate hummus. Hummus is chickpeas.
It is chickpeas, and I'm sure you like chickpeas.
I hate chickpeas.
Do you really?
Yeah, I hate them.
I can't imagine you actually hating any
thing with the word chicks in it.
or pea.
Yeah, it has its place.
Yes, it does.
Golden showers fill my eyes. Oh, wait, that's Slumbers, isn't it?
Golden Slumbers, yes.
Right, right. Okay.
No pee in that song.
Or no pee in the word song.
All right. Seriously, you don't like hummus?
No, I don't like hummus. I hate hummus and I hate chickpeas.
Wow.
Especially in my salad. Thank you very much.
What about pita bread? You don't like that?
I don't mind pita bread.
Okay.
As long as it's whole wheat.
Okay. Glad to hear that. Where'd that come from anyway?
Where'd what come from?
That, how do we get onto chickpeas?
That's a good question. We'd have to back up the tape.
Sorry, I don't see it. How are things going over there in Jabbercast land?
Things are okay over here in Jabbercast land. You know, business as usual.
Business?
Business. Taking care of business.
Is this the week that you found out that you're moving on to the next step in the script writing or screenwriting?
Yeah. Sometime this past week, I moved from the quarterfinals to the semifinals. And next is the finalists. And from there, they'll choose winners.
Oh, so there's no semifinals?
This is the semifinals. I was in the quarterfinals, and I moved up to the semifinals.
Oh, okay, cool. So yeah. Is that eight people?
Oh, no. Just semifinals is because it's, you know, quarterfinals, 4, 3, 2, and 1. Blast off.
No.
No, it's, I think, about 100 people in the semifinals. But that's among five different categories.
Oh, right.
So.
And your category is?
My category is television writing.
Okay.
As opposed to feature film. Mm-hmm. Or webisode or something else. I think there's one or two other ones. What's kind of neat, huh?
I was going to say, can you remind the folks what it is you're
going to do? Yeah, it's an XTV screenwriting competition, which is a pretty big deal.
And if you win, what's up for that?
If you win, they fly you out to L.A., 5-star hotel, and you schmooze with some of the big wigs in production and the film business. And it can only be a really good thing, so.
5-star hotel, wow.
5 stars, baby.
You know, there are not many 5-star hotels in North America.
No. Not without bed bugs. Upstairs.
And straight from the newsroom floor, and the walls, and the ceiling, it's time for news from around the world, and sometimes out of this world, from Big JD and Lippo. Let's head over to the newsroom.
And here we are in the newsroom.
I don't know what your newsroom looks like, but mine's all windows.
Mine is all doors.
Wow, no walls in these rooms.
Nope.
Just doors and windows.
The only wall is door frame.
Okay, that's still a door, I guess.
Sure.
Still a door.
Oh, he's still a door.
And then there was a cellar
bowl.
Door.
A bowl. Still adorable. So, what's going on in the world today?
Well, there's the whole bed bug thing that you were talking about. Supposedly there is a... do they call it an epidemic? I don't know, but there's
pandemic.
No, it's when people are sick.
Yeah, people are going to get sick from these things.
I don't think there's anything that can happen to you if you get bit by...
You get your blood sucked from them.
Yeah,
they feed off of us. And then they can't be all that clean, could they? People are going to start getting salmonella from them.
Well, that's the egg story. Well, let's hold on. One story at a time, okay?
I'm jumping the gun.
You are jumping
Speaking
the gun.
Speaking of guns, how about Iraq, eh? What's going on over there? Okay, let's start with the bed bugs.
Jeez. You sure you don't want to take a nap first? There we go.
Am I on? Is this thing on? So, yeah, the bed bugs thing is crazy. And we are planning on taking a weekend trip to New York in the next couple months. And it's, like, pretty crazy there as far as bed bugs are concerned.
Is there a problem?
There is a very big problem. And it's a big enough problem, actually, that even Land is like, I want to research this thing and see what's going on there. I don't want to bring them home.
Of course you don't want to bring them home. But they're saying they're in...
And I'm like, bring them home. I'm sorry. I've had bed bugs for years.
They're in movie theaters and restaurants. And
I thought they were just limited to bed.
No, they're not. That's the problem.
No, I know. They can be anywhere.
Exactly. The top 10... bed bug cities in the United States. Top one is New York.
That's right.
Number two is Philadelphia. Three is Detroit. believe it or not. So she's not all that far away from a bed bug haven. Number four, Cincinnati, followed by Chicago, then Denver, Columbus, Ohio, Dayton, and Washington, D.C.
Just off the top of his head.
No, no, I got this in front of me. I find that this reminds me a lot of SARS and swine flu. There's always got to be something that the media has got to be feeding us to be afraid of. It's all a government thing. Well, it's something.
I bet you the government let loose these things everywhere.
If it actually exists, this bed bug, I don't know what you call it.
Phenomenon,
sure, that's a good word. I don't even know what to call it, but...
fun, bed bug fun.
Supposedly they talk to all these owners of... what do they call it? Exterminators. Hmm. And, you know, there's, you know, so-and-so from here says, you know, it's the busiest year I've ever had with bed bugs, and I've never seen so many bed bugs this year. This is the worst we've ever had of bed bug outbreaks.
Right.
So, let's say it was the government. They don't gain any... Can you just breathe a little harder into your microphone?
Sorry. It's your naked pictures. It's just the thing that kind of rides up towards my nose.
It rides up towards my butt.
Yeah, I'm not in front of a regular microphone, so it's the headset. And this particular headset, it's funny. It kind of shifts a little bit.
Sounds great, I have to admit.
Yeah. It does sound good.
It sounds very good. But yeah, I honestly don't know. It just seems like one of those things, like I say, like swine flu or the avian flu or what's the thing you can get from all those mosquitoes? Not malaria, but there was some other thing that... Oh, well, it was a flu type thing that the mosquitoes could carry, I guess.
The mosquitoes?
Yeah.
That's the standard...
tell me.
H1N1. what was that from the mosquitoes? Is that the tip of my tongue?
I don't know. I thought it was one of the flu.
What do you catch from mosquitoes?
He's asking
red,
his
red Nile disease, green Nile, Ten Commandments. What is it called?
Something
Nile. Something Nile.
Oh, West Nile.
West Nile. There you go.
Oh, wow. There you go. Very good. Anyway, what other news have we got besides bed bugs?
Well, it's about 5 years now from Hurricane Katrina, and that's a big thing in the spotlight lately.
The fact that it's been 5 years, it's something to celebrate?
I don't know about celebrating, but I mean...
We're going to bake a cake.
We're not going to bake a cake.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it was one of the most bungled public things that has ever happened, which the thing that happened with Katrina is nothing compared to what's going on in Pakistan. And I'm sure those people are not, I know there's people complaining that the government isn't doing enough there, but it's a totally different scale. There's like millions upon millions of people affected by the floods there. And
what a huge area.
Very large area. So it'd be interesting to see what happens once the floodwaters subside there.
Go ahead.
All right, if you don't mind.
Yeah, go ahead.
They're saying, of course, there's the miners in Chile that are also in the news. Chile, that's correct. Mm-hmm. And they, of course, found these 33 miners alive in a room that they were supposed to go to if there was an emergency. And they drilled down there, and there's like a 4-inch hole that they're feeding them water and medicine and food through. It's 6-inch?
Mm-hmm.
And they also sent a camera down there. It's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
And they showed all the men that are down. It doesn't look like where I want to be, that's for sure, for the next little while. But they're down there. They're, you know, they're relatively safe. They can breathe. There's enough oxygen down there. And it looks like they're going to be all right. But the only thing they're worried about is their sanity. It's interesting how they worry about things you never would think that, you know, they're thinking just of their health, but it's actually their sanity. They actually called a guy in from NASA who spent a month up in the space station for a month there, and he was like kind of trapped there as well after there was a fire on the Russian end of the space station. So he had some kind of claustrophobia to deal with as well. You know, he still had contact with the home base and wherever that is, but it was that feeling of isolation. So he was brought in to help these men deal with the feeling of, I can't get out of my situation right now, but I know that my loved ones are still waiting for me when I get out of here. But I also, I'm just out of story right now that the first thing they said that they might not be able to get out for 3 months, but there's supposedly a
Christmas plan. Now.
Yeah. Supposedly there's a plan B. Walter Herrera, quality control and risk manager for Chilean mining company, said his company was bringing in a specialized device, a Scram T-130 drill typically used for boring water holes. He told CNN Saturday the drill could be on site and working within 5 to 6 days. He said the plan hinges on using one of these, one of the three boreholes, measuring 4 inches each in diameter that have already been drilled and are being used to pass the supplies. The drill would use that borehole as a pilot and simply widen the diameter.
Diameter, yeah.
diameter to 28 inches.
28 so, inches?
Which is enough to obviously fit a human through.
As yeah, yeah, as, just make it, yeah. Long way up.
200 stories. Mm-hmm. 2,047 feet. Crazy. So, well, I just hope all the, I hope that all works out. I hope they do get out in half the time.
And I guess it's a pretty good thing they haven't told them yet how long they were expecting not to be able to get them out.
Yeah.
Because they would have went, you know, more berserk than they may be going already.
Yeah, it would suck that, you know, you're thinking, okay, they can see us. How are they going to get out? But I have to think that these miners know.
That it's, you know, difficult.
That it's, yeah, it's going to be hard to, they know what's involved in drilling. You know, they're all miners. They've all been around this stuff before.
So. Oh, they're just kids?
No, it's interesting you say that. They all look like relatively mature men down there, and there's some even older guys down there.
I know, you said miners, so I wasn't sure.
Oh, I didn't catch the
but that, pun. Psh-
You got to stick that in there.
And the other thing, too, is what I wanted to mention was Iraq. I mean, the troops pulled out of Iraq and left like 50,000 troops there in a combat capacity, peaceful government structuring, continuing training Iraqi troops, maybe. But now they're being attacked like... like there's no tomorrow.
Exactly. So they say they're non-combat troops. You have 50,000 troops there. Do you think they took their guns? Oh, you're not going to need your guns. We're going to take those back to the U.S.
Well, no, of course not. But
of course not. They're still fighting. That's just a big line of crap. That whole Iraqi thing. You cannot believe anything you hear out of there.
That's right.
And it obviously goes to show that the media coverage, which... the media is basically owned by, you know, the powers that be who got us into Iraq in the first place. Those, the media people were only allowed certain things. You only see certain things in Iraq. You don't see a lot of footage from the troops in Iraq. It's very, very controlled. It's not like the Vietnam War where you saw casualties and men getting dragged out. And, you know, you don't see any of that stuff. It's a very controlled thing because they want the message to be very honed to exactly what they want it to be, and then that's what gets sent back. We're keeping 50,000 troops here, but they're all in a non-combat role. Mm-hmm. BS. So it makes it sound like, okay, the combat thing is done. Our war in Iraq is done. We're just going to leave these guys here until everything's cool. You know, we've had troops in Japan doing the same thing since World War II. We have, you know, we have, the U.S. has the same thing they got in Iraq. You know, they got, like, military bases in Japan, and they're still there. How many years has it been since the Second World War has been over?
Oh, geez, 3, 4?
Exactly. Like, it's all bull. Loney!
The other thing is, speaking of bull, is another bull market around the corner?
I certainly hope so. I don't think so. Here's the deal.
Yeah, it's all a facade.
It's all a facade. There's all this bad news right now. You know, the stock market's taking plunges based on what's going on with the housing market in the States. And so that makes the stock prices go down. And then people buy in because the prices are low. And then they kick it in, and then of course all the people who have all the money who just invested in the stock market, which nobody would be silly enough to do because things are going down again. Why would we invest our money in the stock market? Well, if you got lots of money, that's what you do with your money. You put it in the stock market when it gets crappy. And then eventually when it does go back up, and it most certainly will go back up, those people are going to be making the cash. So I think I'm going to take the kids' college fund and put it in the stock market.
You're better off just giving that to me, probably. You're going to lose it anyway.
No, I'm not going to lose it.
Oh, okay.
I will make a prediction. I'm going to make at least 20% on my money in a year.
You can put it in a nice into my hedge fund. I'm putting hedges all the way around the... No, I'm just kidding.
The balcony?
Yeah. What do I want to tell you? Lana has been in the studio this evening. Lana, you know, from the Jeff and Lana show, which you can find searching Big JD at the iTunes store. She says that there is a website where you can check to see if there are and where there are bed bugs in various hotels across the United States and probably, yeah, I guess it's called bedbugregistry.com.
Egad.
So they have a website for that. There's probably an app for that by now for the iPhone.
And I guarantee there's a Facebook page for that, too. The Bed Bug Facebook page.
This is Big JD's Aunt Shirley.
And Big JD's Uncle Brian.
And Big JD.
And you're listening to Big JD and Lippo.
On the Jabbercast.
Okay, today's topic is...
Old Wives Tales.
Old Wives Tales. What were our producers thinking?
I think they were thinking of their wives and how much crap they were being told. They seemed like,
is it all crap, though?
I think it's crap based on fact. It's like it's like a lot of stories that get passed down through time. They are coined, as it were, passed around because they're easy to remember because there's some kind of... hook to it. It's like a hook in a song. There's something about it that, you know, it makes it mnemonically easy to remember, and then somebody remembers it, passes it on, and then it becomes an old wives' tale.
Mm-hmm.
What's the good example of, like, there's a word for saying the one that just is like the wives' tale, like it's, you've heard it a million times, it's like it's up on a pedestal, number one wives' tale. Do you know what that is?
The wives' tale itself?
Yeah.
Oh, geez. Stitch in time saves nine. I don't know.
I don't know either. I thought you might have that one.
Well, if somebody says old wives' tale, what pops up? What's the first thing that comes to mind? Anything in particular for you?
If you touch your genitalia before you're old enough to have sex, your hand will freeze to it. And you won't be able to get it off.
Wait a minute. I can't move my... that's what comes to mind?
No.
A few things pop up for my... One is... that's all, folks. A stitch in time saves nine.
Is that a wives' tale?
I don't know if it's... I guess it's...
No, it's not. That's... Benjamin Franklin said that.
Yeah, but what do you call those things? Superstitions, wives' tales. I think there's a fine line between a lot of these different things. And it's actually, it states something that a stitch in time saves nine. And does a stitch in time save nine? You know what I mean? Which, I mean, obviously it would, but.
That's more like a piece of advice or, you know.
Well, like, what about an apple a day keeps a doctor away? That's like a wives' tale, short thing. That would come up in lists of old wives' tales, little things like that.
Oh, really?
Sure. That's why I say there's kind of a fine line between the sayings and proverbs and wives' tales, and you know what I mean?
Right. Another apple-based wives' tale. Think of five or six names of boys or girls you might marry. As you twist the stem of an apple, recite the names until the stem comes off. You will marry the person whose names you are saying when the stem fell off. That's like the she loves me, she loves me not kind of thing.
Yeah. Pulling petals off a flower.
And if you cut an apple in half and count how many seeds are inside, you will also know how many children you'll have. Yikes. That is obviously an old wives' tale because people just don't have that many kids anymore. And speaking of having kids, to predict the sex of a baby, suspend a wedding band held by a piece of thread over the palm of the pregnant girl. I've seen this done. If the ring swings in an oval or circular motion, the baby will be a girl. If the ring swings in a straight line back and forth, the baby will be a boy.
Holy smokes.
Have you ever heard of that one?
No, I didn't.
I remember someone doing that to Kim when we were...
Actually, I think I... Yeah, I've heard of this swinging the ring thing, like, you know, to answer questions and things like that. But I think now that you mentioned that, I have heard of that for the baby thing, too.
Did you know it's bad luck to put a hat on a bed?
I'm not sure if I heard of that one, but I have heard of this one about shoes and that it's bad luck to put new shoes on a table.
It's bad luck to put shoes on a table, period.
Is it shoes on a period? Or I think I thought I always was under the impression for some reason that it's new shoes.
Okay. I know my grandmother told me that long, long time ago. I don't know if it's just because mothers don't want their kids to put dirty shoes on the table. That is an old wives' tale, you see. So, don't put your shoes on the table. That's bad luck. Oh, no. So you never put your shoes on the table.
Yeah, I don't like seeing any shoes on the table, but I was still under the assumption that it was new shoes on the table, but... I would go with any shoes. I wouldn't put shoes on a table.
Great Stick Songs also is called Shoes, spelt with a Z.
And also, that's bad luck. So other bad luck ones are Breaking a Mirror, 7 years bad luck.
Right on. This has been the worst 7 years of my life.
Why, did you break a mirror?
7 years ago, yeah. On August 28th. Oh, wait, it's today. My luck is going to change. I got to go out and buy a lottery ticket. I'll be right back.
Are you kidding?
Yes, I am.
Oh,
this is the Jabbercast where we do as much kidding as we possibly can.
Oh, I was under the impression that everything on the Jabbercast was truthful
and serious.
Serious. We're not on serious yet.
What's the umbrella one that's unlucky?
Oh, opening umbrella indoors is bad luck.
Okay, in a house. Okay.
Yeah.
More bad luck.
A can
because then it'll rain in your house. Or you're just not able to use an umbrella in the house because, oh, I see, okay. That makes sense. It's probably really bad luck.
Other ones of luck, let's see. A black cat, if a black cat walks in front of you, is bad luck.
Oh, there's another good song. Jeff Beck, Superstition. Is that what that is?
I Ain't Superstitious?
That's it. I Ain't Superstitious. Thank you very much. Rod Stewart singing that one. I'm going to bring up any wives' tale that reminds me of a song. I'm going to let you know what it is. Because I know there's a lot of songs based on these kinds of sayings.
Clover, four-leaf clovers are good luck.
Crimson and Clover. Joan Jett did a version of that.
Okay.
Clover, you know, I told you about, I think I mentioned this on the show, speaking of four-leaf clovers. Jennifer, what do you call her? Suitcase lady?
Yeah, I call her suitcase lady, I think, yeah.
She can literally go out to my front yard right now, and within 5 minutes, she can find a four-leaf clover.
How does she do that?
I have no idea. It's insane. It's just boggles my brain. It is like a phenomenon.
Wow,
like
they
should have like the news over here, and everybody would think it was all set up. But I'm telling you, she can go out my yard and in less than 5 minutes. But I'm just going to say 5 minutes just to say it.
She's done it a lot of times.
On command, yeah. Go out and get me a four-leaf clover. Okay. And she'll just bend over and boom, it's there.
Wow.
It's insane. It's crazy. But anyway, onward. Upward.
How about the ones like if you, what is it, cough on the truth. If your cheeks suddenly feel on fire, someone's talking about you. If your ears ring, somebody's talking about you.
My cheeks were on fire last night, but I had that burrito before, so...
Not those cheeks, my friend.
That burning ring of fire.
That's like the cows lifting their tails is sure a sign that stink is coming. Oh, no, rain is coming.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Do you know if a bee enters your home, it's a sign that you will soon have a visitor. If you kill the bee, you'll have bad luck, or the visitor will be unpleasant.
The bee is the visitor.
No, a visitor of the human persuasion.
They say it's bad luck to leave a house through a different door than the one used to come into it.
No, I think that's a silly thing, but anyway, sure, I've heard of that one. Absolutely.
How about
go ahead.
No, I was going to say a dog howling at night when someone in the house is sick, that's a bad omen.
Yeah, I bet it is, because dogs can smell.
Sense.
Death.
Yeah.
They know when someone is about to pass away. At least that's what a lot... There is cancer-sniffing dogs, is there not? That's... They train dogs, or they have dogs that do specifically that.
Hmm.
Cancer, smell out cancer. What else was I going to say? The other bee thing. Oh, the swarm of bees settling on a roof is an omen that the house will burn down. I don't believe that one either. Because I have a friend of mine I know, he had a beehive on his roof, and his house has not burned down.
I know someone with one too, and the house hasn't burned down. It's like it's alive. This thing is huge.
The house is alive?
Yeah. It's like it's alive. It's got a big beehive thing, yellow jacket nest that's like protruding into the house from the ceiling, because they're like inside the corner under, you know, between the attic and the house, like, and it's, they're pushing into the house, and the whole thing moves. You can hear it, and you can see it like pulsate.
The house is alive with the sound of bees. The sound of bells drives away demons because they're afraid of the loud noise.
For whom the bell tolls.
Right. And when a bell rings, a new angel has received its wings. I'm sure you've heard of that.
Brand new angel. You can come up with a song for it. That should be another show altogether. We should stop that.
Because we're going to wreck it for another show?
Yeah. When we come back from our hiatus.
are you serious? You know how many songs we could think of?
Well, of course.
We could do that. We could just have a show on that. Let's just do a show, and it'll just be a weekly show, and it'll all be about how things and superstitions all have led to songs.
All have led to Zeppelin.
Led to Zeppelin.
How about like ones about good luck? Like if the bottom of your right foot itches, you're going to take a trip.
Yeah.
But that's some pretty good luck. But I mean, when things like that happen, if your palm itches, you're going to get money.
Yeah. Itchy palms.
What? Oh, sorry. They used to call me that in seminary.
Itchy palms in the seminary. Yeah.
If your right ear itches, what?
I was going to say, how did you scratch the itch on your hand?
The same way the priests do it.
The scratching pole.
If you're pole. Scratching pole.
Yes.
That's just horrendous.
That's what bears use. They scratch their back on a pole or a tree.
Oh, okay.
And you scratch your hand on a pole or a tree, sure.
If your right ear itches, someone is speaking well of you. If your left ear itches, someone is speaking ill of you.
Oh.
And there's a little saying, left for love and right for spite, left or right, good at night, whatever that means. Speaking of good at night... red sky at night is a sailor's delight. Red sky in morning, sailors take warning.
That is a sailor's something. Sailor saying.
Yeah, we had some kind of show like this at one time, didn't we? It was a saying show or a...
It was the saying show, exactly. This was exactly
similar to this, yeah.
Yeah, well, wives' tales are sayings of a type.
How about the lie little poem thing? Cross my heart and hope to die, cut my throat if I tell a lie.
Yeah, that's a pagan thing that since you didn't believe in what the Bible said, you wouldn't put your hand on the Bible, you'd cross your heart and hope to die. And what's the slice my throat if I tell a lie? What's that?
Well, that's part of that saying that you probably don't realize. Cross my heart and hope to die, cut my throat if I tell a lie.
You know, once you say it, it sounds familiar, like from back when I was like a little child.
Yeah, sometimes we know the a part or a line from an old saying or wives' tale, but not the whole thing. Like, sty, sty, leave my eye. Take the next one coming by. You know, somebody just might say, sty, sty, leave my eye. Or
right. It's like when you're sitting at a campfire and the smoke blows in your face, you say an incantation. There's a word.
Is that a word?
I hate dead rabbits. That's what it is.
Whoa.
I hate dead rabbits. And supposedly the wind will change and the smoke will blow away from your face.
A cricket in the house is supposed to bring good luck.
Well, then that's why I have such good luck, because we have a ton of crickets in our house every year. Our house basically gets infested during a specific season, and we're starting that season right now. You go into the basement of our house, and you're sure to hear at least one cricket.
So what do you do when you catch them? Do you feed them to the bearded dragon?
We actually have two bearded dragons now. The one bearded dragon had a baby.
Oh, really?
It was an immaculate conception, yeah.
No.
We didn't. Yeah, I'm telling you, just out of the blue.
That big bearded dragon that you guys have had a baby.
And they called it rock and roll.
And they called it dragon love.
No, we have a suitcase lady's friend had a bearded dragon, and they have daughters, and they never touch it. They never, you know, they don't actually do anything with it.
Right.
So Kim said she would take it. So now our buddy, he's got a friend.
And they're having a baby.
No, there's no baby.
Oh, okay.
Involved.
So it's a man and woman bearded dragon, though.
Man, I have no idea what their sex is. But they're of different species of bearded, like, you know.
And they're okay together in the same cage?
Yeah, they don't even really, they just crawl over each other or whatever, you know.
Wow.
But the only time that they kind of...
rival?
Not rival, but they are aware of their buddy is when we go to feed them, they want to make sure they get to the worm before the other guy does. So they hurry up to the food.
Huh.
So yeah, but when we do find bugs, we definitely throw them into the whatever you want to call that, terrarium, I guess. It was funny, we put them out on the back deck yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And some kind of little wasp or bug landed right in front of, right next to them, like within two by fours away on the deck. And sure enough, the new guy, we call him KG, by the way, and he ran right up there and picked him up. I saw, that's freaking cool. Bugs landing on the deck, and they just run over and eat him.
That's cool.
Very cool, I think. But yeah, it's interesting now that they have roommates, I guess it were. It's good that they can keep each other company, even though, I don't know, they have brains smaller than a pea, so they're not very intelligent. Something like me. Speaking of seasonal, as the crickets are in our house, we have also a lot of butterflies around our house. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know, notice any proliferation of butterflies in the Windsor area, but out here in the country, it's like a bajillion butterflies. And my wife is into that kind of thing. And she takes caterpillars and throws them in an aquarium she has out in the garage. She likes watching them make their cocoon and turn into the chrysalis and turn into the butterflies.
Wow. You should do time-lapse.
Time-lapse photography would be cool, yeah.
Yeah, time-lapse video.
And an old wives' tale that deals with butterflies, if the first butterfly you see in the year is white, you will have good luck all year. And three butterflies together mean good luck. It's interesting how a lot of wives' tale have to do with bad and good luck.
Mm-hmm.
Like walking under a ladder, or the umbrella one, which we've already mentioned.
And the lead coming in one door and leaving out another one?
Right.
Yeah.
It's interesting how these are obviously all pagan-based. They all believe in some kind of luck. You know, there's, you know, if something bad happens to you, it's bad luck. And if it's good, you get good luck. It's like these, it's like luck is as spiritual as the person who made these things up gets. It's just a luck thing. It's just kind of like a... It's like karma, basically, is what they're saying. But they're instead of actually not blaming karma or giving karma the credit, it's whatever this is, you know, whether it be an umbrella or you put the shoes on the table or you didn't knock on wood or, you know, that kind of thing.
Another one for luck is an elephant. Pictures of an elephant bring luck, but only if they face a door.
If a picture faces the door, or if the elephant faces the door?
Well, it would be the elephant. You know, the picture, you wouldn't know whether it faced the door or not, because the frames are generally the same on all sides. And we'll take a little break, come back with some Sunday Morning Music Mayhem.
Woohoo! Sunday Morning Music Mayhem, a weekly tune that we think you'll dig. Brought to you by Big JD's Rare Rock and Heavy Metal Show at BigJD.com and by the Border City Radio Podcast at BorderCityRadio.com.
It's hard to find something about an actual wives tale, or you could find a song like with a word tale in it, or the word wife or wives. So anyway, that's what we'll go with this week. And this is The Who from Who's Next?
John awesome
N.
Album.
Huh?
Yeah. Awesome album.
Oh, yeah. Great album. John Entwistle singing My Wife. And there you have The Who, John Entwistle singing My Wife.
Yeah, no Roger Daltrey in there.
And usually,
I was going to say, usually you think of either Pete Townsend or...
I don't know even what else Entwistle would sing. Does he sing anything else that you can think? Boris the Spider, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. And there's something also on Quadrophenia. I know he sings at least one song on there.
All right, yeah. So does Keith Moon.
Keith Moon, yeah. Step on a crack, break your mother's back.
We talked about that one, didn't we? No, maybe not.
I think we were talking about your mother's crack, but not...
Whoa. My mother doesn't do drugs.
No? My son Jonas sells crack all the time.
Does he? Sweet.
Yeah. Usually I say that when someone bends over and I got really low riding shorts.
Yeah, he's selling crack?
He's selling crack. Or she's selling crack. A lot of girls tend to wear their jeans low on their hips.
And you either see a crack or a G-string.
A G-string.
Don't you just want to pull it, grab it, and just yank it?
And give the person a... Would you call it a wedgie?
Yeah, I guess it's the same thing, yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Just less material, that's all. But the feeling is mutual. Maybe better. I don't know if it's better or not.
It would probably hurt more than your standard wide bottom wedgie.
Standard bottom. It hurts more, a boxer's short wedgie or a tighty-whitey wedgie?
What's that?
What hurts more, a boxer short wedgie or a tighty-whitey wedgie?
That's a tough call. I'm going to say tighty-whitey.
Tough call. I think it's a tough call only because usually when you get a tighty-whitey wedgie, it's the person can really grab the waistband and a lot of material, and the effect is immediate, whereas they don't have to take a whole bunch of material with them when they're grabbing your boxers. And are you a boxer guy or a tidy whitey guy, or do you just
boxers or briefs?
Boxers or briefs. That's what it is. Briefs.
I'm a boxer guy.
He's a boxer guy.
You need to ask.
Well, I just want the people at home to be aware of the type of underwear you don.
And yourself?
I don't wear underwear.
No?
No. It's just extra clothes to wash. I save money this way.
I went through a long period of time not wearing underwear.
And
then I went back to underwear.
Okay. And was there some reason why you went back? You had a rash or?
No, just over time you find you hang a little low, so you know.
Do your balls hang low? Do they wobble to and fro? Can you tie them in a knot? Can you tie them in a bow? Can you throw them over your shoulder like a continental soldier? Do your balls hang low?
No, not anymore.
By the way, I wear briefs.
Oh, there you go. Whiteies?
Right now, I am wearing blues, and that's all I'm wearing. Oh, okay. Actually, I'm in a t-shirt and briefs.
Whoa.
Not that you need to know that, but...
No, I only saw the shirt, so...
I saw the shirt.
Now I'm getting these crazy visuals, and
sorry about that.
No.
Throw back the first fish you catch, and then you'll be lucky the whole day fishing.
Ooh.
If you count the number of fish you caught, you'll catch no more that day. Just like know when to hold them, know when to fold them. And it's bad luck to say the word pig while fishing at sea.
Wow.
Don't mention pigs while you fish.
Pigs on the wing.
Oh, you know what I listened to recently was a interview from are you familiar with the Hypnosis album cover design company? Do you remember Hypnosis? I think it was spelled H-I-P.
I do recall the name.
Yeah, there's a guy, his name's Storm, his first name's Storm Bronsberg or something like that. And the Rock and Roll Geek interviewed him. Really interesting interview about... all the album covers they created. He did all the Pink Floyd ones. Mm-hmm. No, I shouldn't say all the ones, but a lot of them, including the Animals album, which is of a pig floating above a factory.
Mm-hmm.
That was all. That was an actual a physical photo shoot. They had cranes and a big inflatable pig, which of course went from concert to concert after that.
So it wasn't made on a computer or something.
Well, back then they didn't. That was another thing that made it really interesting. They talked about taking photographs and then coloring them by hand. Mm-hmm. You know, So it was interesting to get the stories behind all these the album covers that you think are cool. And it was more interesting because he brought some albums with him.
Yeah.
And he wanted to get the story behind certain albums. And some of them he just thought, oh my God, like that was horrible. I don't know what we were thinking kind of thing.
Wow.
And, Michael Butler's like, wow, I looked at this album for countless hours while I listened to this album, and it was just nothing to you. But meanwhile, I read all kinds of meaning into it, and I'm coming to you thinking I'm going to get the real story behind it, and you just think it's crap. So I thought that was really interesting. So if you want to check that out yourself, you can go to therockandrollgeek.com.
Hey folks, Big JD here. Just wanted to let you know about my Big 30. Incorporating the Jeff and Lana Show, the Rare Rock and Heavy Metal Show, and my You Talking to Me interview show in a 130-minute podcast. 10 minutes with Lana, a 10-minute interview with a new guest every week, and 10 minutes of tunes. You get it all in the Big 30. It's fast, it's a blast, and it's come to pass. Big JD's Big 30. Subscribe free on iTunes or from www.myspace.com/BigJD's Big 30.
Oh, God! No way!
Tech Talk with Big JD and Lippo, keeping you up to date with innovation, technology, gadgets, and more. Computers, TV, radio, and string and cans. We cover it all. Yeah, that's right.
All right, this week on Tech Talk, on Wednesday, our favorite technology company, Apple, announced that they're going to have an event on September 1st. A lot of people had thought this event was going to be later on, like a week or two after Labor Day. Some people were thinking it was going to be the Labor Day weekend, but people realized that journalists are not going to be traveling during Labor Day weekend to get to an event. So September 1st, I believe, is a Wednesday.
Okay.
If I'm not mistaken. And so a lot of people are wondering what it's going to be. Usually September is always an iPod event. So people are figuring, we're going to get a new iPod Touch with, the Retina display, front-facing camera probably, since, it's only Wi-Fi that you can use the FaceTime technology with right now anyway. So people are thinking that that's what we're going to get. Also, some people are saying that the iPod Touches are going to be, the capacities are also going to be increased, but I kind of doubt that because they didn't increase the capacity of the iPhone. So, the iPod Touch still had the advantage with the fact that they sell a 64 gigabyte iPod Touch, which I wish there was a 64 gigabyte iPhone. That would be nice.
Sure.
And they're thinking that if there is a 128 gigabyte iPod Touch, they'll can the iPod Classic.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of people are thinking there's more to it than that. On the invitation to the journalists, there was just a picture of an acoustic guitar, and the sound hole in the guitar was in the shape of an apple. So,
iGuitar.
iGuitar. Didn't you say that before? I might have heard that on another show, like Easy Mac Podcast or something.
I might have inquired, in passing why they don't have that to use with GarageBand and so forth, or USB guitar maybe, or,
Right. A lot of people are thinking that there's going to be a device, basically all the guts of an iPod Touch, that you're going to be able to hook to your TV via HDMI. So you're going to be running apps on there, and you're going to be able to control it from either your iPhone or your iPod Touch or your new Magic Trackpad while you sit on your couch. You can be able to control this device that is basically, like I say, the guts of a iPod Touch or an iPhone without the phone, but it's better to think of it as an iPod. And you're going to be running apps on your TV. What would be the use of that? Well, there's some good uses, obviously, but people are thinking that now that Netflix and HBO and Hulu have all they're creating apps, you're going to be able to get this content through an Apple TV, whatever. But they're thinking that this is how we're going to make the transition from a cable or satellite and even over the air to some type of what do they call it, TV over IP or whatever, So it's kind of interesting. Who is going to actually bring the content to the TV? Is it going to be the cable, not the cable companies, but the networks like HBO or AMC or Showtime, or is it going to be the actual production companies who sell their product to you know, the Showtimes and HBOs and stuff like that. So it's going to be, it's worrying. Well, we're obviously in a state of transition, and it'll be interesting to see if Apple introduces a device like that, which a lot of people are saying that's, as soon as the Magic Trackpad came out, everybody's wondering why, what's up with this kind of thing, you know? Mm-hmm. Where, what niche does this fill? Like, was there a pressing need for a Magic Trackpad? But if you think about, you know, the scenario that I just presented, it makes a lot of sense. So we're all waiting for September 1st for the announcement from Apple.
And the other thing, too, is that they are currently giving away a free iPod Touch with the purchase of a computer, you know, for their...
ending in a minute.
And when is that end?
I want to say I got an email today and it's saying it's going to end the end of next week, I think Friday. The end of next week is the last time you have to...
Okay,
that.
I was just wondering if they do change the iPods, I guess you're still, for that week's time, you'll still only be able to get the old iPod.
Oh, yeah, it'll just be an announcement, and they'll say they're going to be available, you know.
Yeah, after that week.
On this day or whatever, yeah. Usually that's the way it is, it's just an announcement. But then again, now that I'm thinking about it, I'm thinking that when they introduced the Nanos, they were available, like, that day.
Quickly, yeah.
Yeah, like you could go online and order them that day, but I could be wrong. I forget. It's usually a very short lead time, I think, from the time they announce the new iPods. But what everybody's saying that, speaking of the iPods, though, there's some pictures of cases that were released from China. You know, Apple releases a product, and before that, they give the dimensions to some of these case makers out in China. And there's one that's 3x3, and there's also, like a month or two ago, there was talk of the Apple ordering 3x3 LCD displays. So they're thinking that the Shuffle is going to get a display. Mm-hmm. If you can think of a device that's 3x3, that is a small display.
Better a small display than no display, I always say.
Well, it's interesting that they have a Shuffle, and you have to have a specific little dongle to move from song to song, and you got to press and hold. And, you know, it's functional and it works, and it's fine as long as you get used to it. But it's definitely not what you'd expect from Apple. It's totally the way the Shuffle is as of today.
Right.
It's unlike anything else that Apple does.
And speaking of Shuffle, we're gonna shuffle around a little bit and come back with the Jabber quote. This week's Jabber quote brought to us by
Steve and Larry, fine purveyors of old wives' tales. Actual physical wives' tales from back in the days of old when wives grew tails. No. This is tails we're talking about are pigtails and ponytails.
Ooh. I like those.
Would you like the pig's tails or the ponytails?
Pig's tails or ponytails? Ponytails.
Mm-hmm. So ponytails are for longer hair and pig's tails are for shorter hair, is it not?
I think you're right.
Do you know a girl at work called Renee? She's a relatively tall girl, somewhat Amazonish. No, Renee.
It sounds familiar, but I can't place her.
Okay. She was wearing pigtails today.
Okay.
Kind of a turn on. From Christopher Marlowe, who I believe was an author in... Shakespearean times? No, 18th century. No, 1800s, which is the 19th century. Tush, these are trifles and mere old wives' tales. That is as lame as it gets.
That is. Tush, on the other hand.
yeah, I wonder where the...
He must have listened to some ZZ Top in his day.
Well, that's what I'm thinking. if you use the word tush... Like, as in, what does that mean? Like, bah humbug or nonsense or whatever. It's like, tush.
Yeah.
These are trifles and mere old wives' tales. And trifles, isn't that... no, that's truffles. Never mind.
Candy.
I was going to say, I have some other quotes. When you look for old wives' tale quotes, it's very hard. It's like looking for, it's like looking for something that isn't very well defined on the internet.
Right. That leads you to something totally different. Yeah.
Beware of him that telleth tales, a schoolboy's tale, the wonder of an hour. What's so tedious as a twice told tale? And I cannot tell how the truth may be as I say the tale as 'twas said to me.
Those are all tongue twisters.
Yes, they are. And I am now unable to speak because my tongue is thoroughly twisted.
How about just a couple more wives' tales to leave the fine folks with before we leave and let them know what's coming up next week? This is really good. A wives' tale based on a pencil. If you used the same pencil to take a test that you used for studying for the test, the pencil will remember the answers. I love that idea.
I wish I would have known that when I was in high school.
Scissors. If you drop scissors, it means your lover is being unfaithful to you.
If you drop them?
Yeah. Oh, here's a shoe thing. If you do not place shoes upon a table, for this will bring bad luck for the day, cause trouble with your mate, and you might even lose your job as a result. And as another one here is a bad luck to leave shoes upside down. So I guess it's not new shoes. It's any shoes. I was always under the impression that my dad had said it was new shoes, but...
I see. Friday the 13th, there's a ton of old wives' tale about Friday the 13th. Fear of Friday the 13th is rooted in ancient separate bad luck associations with the number 13 and the day Friday. The two unlucky entities combined to make one super unlucky day.
Super?
Isn't it super?
I'll leave you with this. A yawn is a sign that danger is near.
Really?
And the danger that is near is the end of the show is near.
You know, it's interesting that you say that. A yawn is... I'm reading that right now. A yawn is a sign that danger is near. And you know where that comes from? Comes from monkeys.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, that's what monkey... And that's why they say that as humans, when we see someone yawn, we tend to want to yawn ourselves.
Right.
And so this is a mechanism that is built into us Homo sapien people. I don't even know how are we related to the monkeys again. There's just some kind of homogeneous thing there. But when they studied monkeys in a tree, they made a face that basically replicates a yawn. And to some, it might even look like a smile.
Right.
And so the monkeys would be in the trees making this face, and they would look, and the other monkeys would see the monkey making the face because they see what a lion or something crawling around on the ground. And so these monkeys would just pass it from one monkey to the next. It was like instinctual for them to make this face. So they all knew to be quiet or do whatever they had to do to be safe from whatever danger was near.
And there's that saying as well that stems from somewhere within all that, that is monkey see, monkey do.
Exactly. That's probably right up there with that saying as well. And cover your mouth when you yawn. Your soul can go out of your body along with your yawn. And I think that's what people think when you sneeze as well. It's because people say, bless you, because they think your soul has left your body once you've sneezed.
Very interesting. And what do we have coming up next week is cycling.
Cycling?
Cycling.
Oh, bicycling. Bicycling.
Yeah.
I thought it was maybe...
steroids? No.
No, I thought we were going to be studying the rate at which computer chips cycle.
Oh, that would be fun. But no. We can't have that much fun on the Jabbercast. Bicycling, no. Mountain biking, road biking, and more. Mustang, CCM, banana seats, extended forks, cards, and clothespins, etc., etc. I'm going to try and get an interview for that show. I don't know if I will be able to on such short notice, but it's somebody I'm trying to interview as well that is riding a bicycle from, I want to say like somewhere up north, the North Pole to Argentina or something crazy.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And so it's pretty wild. But if I can get a quick, short interview for the Jabbercast, and then I plan on actually interviewing this person for you talking to me.
Oh, that sounds good. I'm going to try to get Neil Peart to talk to us about his cycling trip he did throughout Africa.
Did he do that?
Yeah, and you can read a book about it. It's called The Masked Rider.
Wow. Get that for us for next week. What?
The interview?
Yeah.
He's my friend on Facebook. I'll ask him.
Awesome.
Okay. Thanks a lot for listening, everybody. We'll see you next week.
And remember,
you sleep best with your head to the north and your feet to the south.
Good night, everyone.
Yes, it's the Jabbercast Podcast. Talk radio on the go. You can visit us on the web at thejabbercast.com. You can email Big JD at thejabbercast.com or Lippo at thejabbercast.com. As well, you can get involved with the shows by sending text emails and audio emails to hearmeout@thejabbercast.com. Copyright 2006, Big JD and Lippo. All rights reserved. Listener feedback encouraged. Some conditions apply. Open mind sold separately.
John Boy. Good night, Eleanor. Jim Bob. Bob Frank.
Betty Lou.
Mo.
I don't want to do this no Mo.
And that's a wrap.